2 Timothy chapter 2. All right, on Sunday mornings, we've been looking at thriving in the new year. Thrive, not just survive, but thrive. And our theme out of Psalm 1 is that individual who is planted by the rivers of water, and he's bringing forth his fruit in his season. His leaf is not withering, and he is growing and pressing on the upward way. Now, that's our theme. We're striving to see some of that and looking through. Now, I want to come back here, as we looked last week, a little bit about in 2 Peter, how that we are going to have to strive at keeping our focus on the Lord and on the Word of God, or else what happens is we'll begin to drift from the things of God, and eventually, as Peter says, those that are unstable and unlearned, they begin to wrest the Scriptures or twist the Scriptures to fit their own ideology and their own convictions and their own standards of living. So we don't do that. We have to keep this our standard. Now, he gives us some directives there in Peter, but now we come back to Paul's writings in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and Paul now gives a list of, if you will, directives, not so much commands per se, but directives given to Timothy on how he should live and what he should do, in particular in the ministry he's talking to. But it applies, obviously, to us as well. Notice, though, verse 1, he says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses." He says, notice, the same, underline that word same, "commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that why? Well, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." Now, as we pause there in our reading, notice a couple of these things that he talks about. He's saying, in essence, Timothy, if you're going to continue in the ministry, if you're going to thrive and grow and mature, here's some things I want you to understand. He starts out here in this text here about verse 1, the grace of God. Notice what he says, though. He says, be strong in the grace of God. Again, if you're going to thrive in the new year, you got to have the grace of God. What's the grace of God? People get so confused about the grace of God. It's not confusing. Grace, its root definition is the unmerited favor of God. It's what we don't deserve, right? And mercy is similar, but it's different. God's withholding what we do deserve. Okay, he's withholding what we do deserve. What do we deserve? Hell, right? So he's forgiven us of our sins. Grace is then giving us that unmerited favor, undeserved favor. If you're going to grow in the Lord, you've got to have the grace of God. Why? You're going to mess up. And aren't you thankful that we live what we call the age of grace is what we live in today. Prior to this age, what did we have? We were under the law. Okay, if you stole something, you were condemned on the spot. You committed adultery, you and the woman were condemned on the spot. And they tried to push this and implement it. Now, the Judaizers in the New Testament during Jesus' day, they tried to implement this stuff on Jesus, but Jesus turned it back around on them, said, you don't even follow that. Okay, if we turn the law back around on you bozos, you'd all be condemned and stoned to death right here on the spot. Okay, so they didn't even follow it. They tried to preach it, but didn't follow it. But the grace comes in now and shows us that we can now mature in that grace. Now, here's the point, life application here. Your children will not grow and mature without your grace on their lives. If it's always condemning, everything's condemning, wrong, bad, not good enough. Some of you may have grown up in that environment. You're just not good enough. That's not good. No, you can't do that. Don't do anything right. What do? You see them just slowly kind of shrivel up as a human being. They never excel in life. They become kind of a deadbeat or whatever the case is in some cases. But you see, as the grace is given, listen, I know you messed up, but here it is. I want you to keep going. Hey, I was in your spot at 18, 19. I remember where I was. Here's the grace I'm going to extend to you. Is grace in everything in our lives? Now, this is what Paul says. My son, be strong. Now, according to what most theologians or church historians believe, Paul didn't have any children of his own. We don't believe he did. And so he had what's called spiritual children all around him. He had Titus and Timothy and a guy, Tychicus, and there were several other people that he kind of brought under his wings, if you will. And by the way, you realize this real quickly, that sometimes your blood family aren't there for you. And what? Your spiritual family's there for you more than the blood family. And this is why I want to encourage you to be so faithful to church and be faithful in the things of God and be around the church family. Why? We don't always get along and like each other, but we can come together. Why? Because this is your true family. It amazes me when people go through heartache and pain or difficulty or tragedies, and guess who they call? The church and the church people. And that's why we're here, and that's what we want to do. But you often question and go, why don't you call your family? Why don't you call your buddies at work, your friends over here? Because that's not their real family. And Paul says, you're my son. I want you to remember this. Now jump back to chapter 1. We've studied this before, but just bear with me. Chapter 1, notice verse 3. Chapter 1, verse 3 says, I thank God whom I served from my forefathers with a pure conscience. He says, Timothy, believe me when I say this, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. So if you are my spiritual son, I'm going to pray for you night and day. Then he says, notice verse 4, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Apparently, Timothy was going through a difficult season, whether ministry or personal, I think it was both, where he was going through a stressful time, and maybe not physical tears he was bearing, but he was going through a hard time. And Paul says, I'm mindful of those tears. I want you to know that I'm here for you, brother. I'm here for you, son. I want to encourage you. I want to help you. I just want to remind you of that. You need to find a spiritual child, maybe here in the church or somewhere, that you can mentor, you can encourage, you can help. Oh, I'm not good at that. You could write them a note or send them a text message or do something, right? Try to find somebody that you can really help and encourage in the grace of God. Now flip that over. If you're a younger person, look for a mentor in your life, a spiritual mentor you can look to. You can, in your way, encourage them, ask them questions, whatever the case is. This is very vital in the walk with God, but if we're going to thrive, we need the grace of God. Secondly, notice back in chapter 2, verse 2, and the things, notice, that thou hast heard of me. Okay, so notice what he says. To thrive, to grow, you're going to need the grace. That's God's unmerited, undeserved favor in your life. You pray and ask God, God, you help me to do this. I can't do it. Lord, you know I messed up again. Help me to do it. Help me to move forward. Lord, I can't. That's the grace of God. Okay, come on. You can keep going. I want to help you. We got to be careful about that. 1 John, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We've got to daily confess our sins to him to stay right with him. But though, secondly, our thriving then is then committing the truth to other people. Committing the truth. This is very important for us. He says there's a continuation of the message. Commit thou. The things first you heard of me among many witnesses. The same commit thou. He's not saying make up your own doctrine and your own ideology, your own understanding, if you will. The same thing you heard from me, commit to other people. Now that's your goal. That's your priority. It should be. Take what you have that's been given to you, that's been passed down. By the way, you don't need to deviate or change anything. It's all right here. Take this and follow this and then pass it to other people. That's your goal. It's so sad when people, Christians, children of God, take the word of God and the things of God and never pass it on to other people. They never propagate the truth to other people. And what's happened? They're really empty inside. They really are. When you pass the truth on to others, not necessarily even the truth, but even just helping other people, giving, you're exemplifying Jesus Christ to other people, there's a joy inside, isn't there? Fulfillment inside. You sit home all day, you never reach anybody with the gospel, you don't ever text or email people, you don't ever go out and try to help somebody. I'm telling you, there's an emptiness, there's a void inside. And he says, you now commit the same. To who? Faithful men. Who shall be able to teach others also. Very interesting. So you take what Paul said, got it. I have all the notes, I have the word of God, I go commit it to faithful men, not unfaithful people. This is what we saw last week in 2 Peter. He says those that are unlearned and then unstable. That's the opposite of faithful. 1 Corinthians 15, he says what? Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For ye know what? That your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's the direct opposite of being unfaithful. The child of God is called to be faithful. Oh, I'm faithful, but faithful in every area. Church attendance, Bible reading, conduct, personal conduct, all of it. Faithfulness is a key characteristic we're going to look at on our Wednesday night series, a key characteristic of a child of God. So what you heard from me, you take and commit to faithful men. Those faithful men, though, go and propagate it to the people around them. That's exactly what we've done for 2,000 years. Jesus Christ came. He taught us the truth. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He says to the apostles, he says, now go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then what? Teaching them all things whatsoever I've taught you. Lord, what should we teach them? He says, I taught you everything. I've given you everything. Oh, how can we remember all that you said? He said, well, one, I'm going to give you the word. They begin to write the New Testament during that time. But also, what does he say in John 14, 15, and 16? I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will be your comforter, and he will remind you and bring to light everything that I've told you. Now, that's called the inspiration of God. So you commit that to other people. The apostles then took it, as you know, according to the book of Acts, comes right after the Gospels. The book of Acts is all about what? The apostles. It's called the Acts of the Apostles is the actual head on that. And the apostles go out and spread the gospel around the world. Paul goes up, and he wasn't an actual apostle during that time, but he goes up into parts of Europe and Asia Minor. You know that. They believe that Matthew and others spread across over down south area. You have Peter going all over the place and all these guys going everywhere. And they're spreading the gospel. They're spreading the truth. Churches are started everywhere. For we get to the book of Revelation. In Revelation 1 and 2, parts of 3, talk about what? The seven churches of Asia Minor. These seven churches represent churches that were planted and started by the apostles. Now, then those under the apostles are the disciples. That's you and me. Hence from there, we spread out, we've been taught. I don't know who taught you, but somebody taught you. Grandma, grandpa, maybe a pastor, somebody taught you, and you're here today. And now you go forth and do the same. That's what he's saying. Now, if you're going to thrive, I'm saying, you need the grace of God, one, and you need in that the strength that comes with it. But secondly, you need to be propagating the truth. And he says this to Timothy, be careful and cautious as what you do. Verse 3 then, as you propagate the truth, notice what happens. Thou therefore get ready to enjoy the red royal carpet rolled out for you, being fed grapes and waved with palm leaves. And no, it doesn't say that, does it? What's it say? Thou therefore endure hardness. Well, that's encouraging. Thanks. Get ready for a tough season. Wow, thanks. Appreciate that encouragement. Notice what he says. If you're going to propagate the truth and be strong in the grace of God, get ready for some hard times. Now he likens it, or him, to what? A good soldier. Now a good soldier is above average. You have average soldiers, and you have a good soldier. You have bad soldiers at the bottom. He says, be a good soldier. A soldier is one that simply follows orders. That's all he does. I said it before, but those young 8, 7, sometimes 17, 18, 19-year-old boys and girls show up day one at boot camp, and many of you men and women have been there. And they show up day one, and they go, what would you like? Well, this evening, what's for dinner? Right? No, yeah. What can I have? I don't like the color of these clothes and those boots. They're terrible. Can I get something? No, what are they? What is my sole purpose here? To do whatever you tell me to do. I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do. If you don't like it, take a hike. We are now under this, if you will, this mentorship that Paul lays out for us. And we're to now endure hardness, put up with things. That's what he talks about in 1 Corinthians 13, and talking about love, that true definition of charity. So you say he puts up with stuff and endures, it puts up with. It's patient, it's long-suffering, all of that we see. As we are to thrive in this, we need that grace. We need that help. And with it, as we propagate, as we go forward, as we thrive, and I've said this before, if you're short on critics and looking for a critic and looking for someone to just nitpick your life, do something for God. I mean, just something little. Just show up to church. I mean, just read your Bible every morning. What are you doing that for? Just pray. I'm going to go pray. Now, after your wife passes out and you wake her back up, it's okay, honey. I'm getting spiritual now. I'm going to go pray. Can you give me a minute in the office? What, you're going to face criticism. I tell you what, if I want the kids to gather around me and all of them just get right here real close and start screaming and yelling and everyone start arguing and fighting and daddy, 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 daddy. You know how I get all that? You know what I do? I just open this up. I'm telling you every time. You know what I'm saying? You just open the Bible. Okay, I need to. Okay, we go. Okay, we were talking, my wife and I were talking this weekend. She said that. She said, every time I go in the office and sit down and read and do my journal and do my thing, here comes everyone banging on the door, wanting to know, hey, this just, that's how it goes. And those are minor things. Timothy, Paul's talking to Timothy about some real difficult situations. But he said we're to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now again, I don't mean to be mean-spirited or harsh, but you know, some of us, we need to start acting like soldiers, right? We do. I mean, we live in a real fickle society today. We were talking out in the hallway just a little bit ago, but the current generation, you know, you don't like it? Well, I'm going to quit. I don't want to be there. I don't want to do this. I don't want to go there. We're in a have it your way society. BK, have it your way, right? You pull up and what do I get? I don't like that. I don't want that. The girl gave me the wrong sauce the other day. I wanted barbecue. She gave me honey mustard. I said, you gave me the wrong sauce. And she looked at me like, huh? What? I said, no, wrong sauce. Dipping sauce? Oh, okay. I'm like, okay, hand it over. And then the other day I told you that my bag was sitting right there in the drive-up. I said, just give it, pull into number one. No, the bag's right there, just hand it over. Give me the bag. I'm still bitter about that, by the way. Okay. And they gave me Diet Dr. Pepper, too, the other day. Good night. Come on, pull it together. And I knew it. I should have tested it before I drove off. Put the straw in and test it. Okay. Anyway, I'm just enduring hardness here as a good soldier. That's what I'm trying to do. My life is so hard and so difficult. Okay, verse 4 now, notice. Well, he says, then no man that warreth, well, you're in a war, what's he do? Entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Now, here's the caution. As you war, this is a spiritual battle. You have your armor on, Ephesians chapter 6. You have your armor on, your spiritual armor. Why? You're in a war. The natural tendency in a war is to get entangled with non-essential things. We get wrapped up in things that don't matter. And we got to keep our focus now. If we're going to thrive in the new year, you've got to keep your focus. And when war comes, when battle breaks out, we tend to get our eyes off the prize. It's easier to sit back. It's easier just to take it easy. It's easier to sleep in. It's easier not to do that. It's easier. No, excuse me, we keep going. Now, here's the why. Here it is. That he may please himself. Doesn't say that, does it? That he may please him. Now, who's the him? You remember your elementary English. Okay, the him there is pointing back to who? It's the Jesus Christ. He may please him, Jesus, that has chosen him, Timothy, to be a soldier. Our goal is to please him. If God has chosen you to be a soldier, every one of you in here today are chosen to be a soldier. Now, particularly, Paul's talking about a pastor here, you know that. But all of us are chosen to be soldiers in God's army. I am in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. I am in the Lord's army. Remember singing that? We're in the Lord's army. We're going forward. Now notice what he says. I please him. I've said it so many times, and please forgive my repetition here. When you please him, your goal is to please him. You will inevitably please everyone you are supposed to please around you. Right? Again, emphasis on the word supposed. We are supposed to please. We cannot please everybody. Paul says, if you can, as much as lieth in you, as much as you can muster, try to live peaceably with everybody. What's he saying? You can't live peaceably with everybody. Personalities conflict and problems happen. But he says, strive to live peaceably. But notice, when you please Jesus, he's my goal, I'm not here at church because of Brother Tim or anyone else. I'm here because of Jesus. I'm not doing this so I can impress anybody. Reading my Bible, praying, it's not about that anymore. It's about what? I want to please Him. Then I will inevitably begin to please everybody. Jesus, spouse, children, family members, and job. That's kind of the order we need to keep it in. But usually it's job, children, spouse, Jesus, and something else at the bottom. We have to be very careful. So my goal is to please Him. When two individuals in a relationship are both striving to please Jesus, and you take a triangle, I've said this so many times, but triangle here, here's dad, here's mom. They're both focused on Jesus at the top. What happens? They inevitably get closer to each other. Isn't that wonderful? They move forward in this way of saying, my life is to please Jesus. That's my goal. I want to thrive in the new year. I'm going to be in a war. I'm not going to entangle myself with the affairs of this life. The non-essential things in this life. Money's good. We have to make money. We have to survive with it. But God said, keep it in its proper place. There's nothing wrong with money. It's an inanimate thing. It's a neutral object. That's why Paul says it's the love of money that messes us up. We get our focus. We get on that. It's the love of materialism that gets us all messed up. Okay, verse 5 then. Let's continue and we'll wrap it up here with a few more. Paul says in this list of things, these directives I want to help you with, verse 5, and if a man strive for masteries. Now, what's that? That's professionalism. He is not crowned except he strive lawfully. Now, here it is. If you're a good soldier, you're not going to go AWOL. All right, AWOL, absent without leave. You can just leave, up and leave the base and never come back. Now, there's repercussions to that, and you do get in trouble. You know that. And you get reprimanded. You get things happen to you. But a lot of people just leave. They're nowhere to be found. There's people that are around us that are just up and leave. Again, I said that of our generation. It's, if I don't like it, I'm gone. He says, as you're a good soldier, you're striving for professionalism. You will not be crowned except you do it lawfully. A guy stands on the podium at the end of a race, and they give him, in fact, there's many stories like this, and they find out later that he cut a corner, and he cut half the track. What are they going to do? They're going to take that medal off his neck. He didn't do it what? Lawfully. You're not going to master, you're not going to strive to be a professional in your field, and in this case, a good soldier of Jesus Christ, except you do it lawfully. You and I want the crowning without doing it God's way. And this is the key. We try to do things our way. God says that's not how it goes. Our government tries to do things their way. It's not going to work out. And listen, some of you got real excited about what just happened last week and the transition of power and other things. Praise God for a lot of righteousness being pushed back into our government. And we're thankful for that. But we don't serve Him. We serve Jesus Christ. And we know the end result of this world. We know what's going to happen. And listen, we're going to have, Lord willing, 4 years of prosperity, Lord willing. World War III won't break out. I don't know. Lord willing, in 4 years, we'll have a lot of growth. Lord willing, we'll see our churches grow and people get right with you. I don't know what's going to happen. But at the end of 4 years, there's going to be somebody else. And we know the end result. We know what we're supposed to be focused on. Please Him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Are you striving lawfully? That means God's way. That's God's way, not your way. See, the problem with me that I have is I deceive my own self. I deceive my own self. I live in a self-deception all the time. Well, I'll be okay. It'll be fine. I think I'm good at this. And you always have that person in your life that reminds you that you're not good at those things, right? No, you're not good at that. You're not good at this. You're good at this, though. And you think through it. God says, I want you to strive my way. What's the whole crux of the Old Testament? Basically of Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy. It was Moses getting the people to come back to God's way. Their people went out on a Sabbath day and gathered the manna. And he came to those people and said, did I not tell you that you're not supposed to do that? What'd they say? Oh, well, we just thought we could. We just thought that. We assumed that. We said a few months ago about assuming. God says you don't assume anything in this life. By the way, we have a completed book. It's called the Completed Canon of Scripture, that you and I do not have to assume anything in this life. I mean, nothing. You don't have to assume a thing. You come to the Lord and say, God, what do you want me to do with this? Is this correct? Is this what you want me to do? He says, bringing them back to my way, doing it God's way. And boy, it takes and relieves such pressure off our shoulders when we just say, Lord, I'll just do it your way. You don't deal with that turmoil inside of, well, I don't know, what are they going to think about me? How do they? No, just settle. I'm just do it God's way. And you do it lawfully. Notice, you will be crowned. Now again, when we stand before Christ or we bow before Him, the Bible says every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that He is Lord. Okay, so these bozos that get up and blast Jesus Christ and all these things, they'll be bowing before Jesus one day. But He says when we do, we will receive one of five crowns that are given in the Bible. And you want one of those, by the way. We're going to take those crowns, they're basically a reward, and we'll take those crowns off, and we will then cast them or put them at the feet of Jesus in a great, great celebration of worship. I can't wait for that day. Isn't that going to be wonderful? And just seeing all that takes place, it's going to be amazing. But you can receive a reward, a crown. We got to do it God's way. Verse 6 then, let's look at this and then we'll wrap it up here. The husbandman then that must be laborer, that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Now this is interesting. The husbandman is the one that takes care of and cares for the garden, cares for the whatever it is, a tree grove or something, whatever you deal with or whatever it would be. Now again, I said this before, but if you have a garden or anything, don't let me within 5 feet of that thing because it'll just start dying. My presence there, just something about it. I'm a walking weed killer or something. Actually, no, I'm not, because I can't get rid of the weeds. The weeds, I walk around the weeds, they just thrive. I don't know what it is. The plants and vegetables and fruits, I can't do it. But notice what he says, the husbandman, that he cares for, laborers, he's the first partaker of the fruits. Now, you have to do it before you teach others. This is a convicting thing to me every day. I struggle with this. Before you preach and teach, you better do it yourself. Paul says, if I do that, if I preach and teach and don't do it, I become a castaway. A dokimos is the Greek word. It means castaway. As they would coin the money, the mint in those days, the money, they would take and look at it, and if it was off or crooked or wasn't right, they'd flip it to the side. Those are no good, and they'd remelt them and reproduce them, make them right. Those that were good. See, those were the adokimos, no good. They'd flip it off to the side into the bag where they would have to remelt it. He says, I'm not going to be a castaway having preached something and not lived it. But number two in this, there's another aspect to it, is that you are rewarded first. If you go out and plant a bunch of carrots, you're going to go out as that husbandman, pluck one up, take your pocket knife or whatever and take a piece of it. You're making sure that it's right. And you're not letting your children starve to death. You go and sell all your product to all the people. You have money, but your kids are starving because they have no food. He says you're careful about that. It's a balance, if you will. But he that labors, you understand, must first partake of the fruit. If you're going to thrive in the new year, you've got to be partaking of the Word of God. I'm not going to live very long. I'm not going to strive and thrive and even survive without partaking of the fruit. Replenishing your soul daily, feeding your heart daily. Your mind is filled with such garbage this day, isn't it? So much nonsense in our minds, so much social media in our hearts that just drive us away from the things of God, and we wonder why we have such a rotten attitude, such a caustic spirit, such a negative about everything. You know, oh, everything, this is boring, this stinks over here, I can't believe that, I can't. It's this in us. We get replenished every day in the Word. What happens? We're partaking of the fruit. Yeah, I'm nourished. I got it. I know what to do. Now then I can what? Commit thou to others. Okay? Then let's wrap it up here. He says, I want you to understand this. You will thrive only when you commit the truth in the grace of God to others, and you strive in the midst of trials, in the midst of heartache and pain. By the way, the Christian life is not easy. People get saved, and they think everything will be great and grand. I led a man to the Lord, about 6 months ago, and he thought that it was about a year ago. He thought everything would be great and grand. His addictions will go away. His marriage will come back together. All these things. And I warned him and I said, now, this is just the first step, brother. Okay, this isn't just a magic pill that you take and everything gets better. Everything works out. And sure enough, what happened? He said he got saved. I don't think he got saved truly because he fell right back into all that nonsense. We need to understand we're in a war. And God is warning us about that. So we're striving in that. To thrive, we're in a war. We're not entangling ourselves. We're pleasing Him, only Him, focused on the Lord. We're striving lawfully. We're partaking of the fruit. Notice this one, and we'll wrap it up. Go down to verse 15, though. Verse 15. This is interesting. He says there, study. Again, underline that. Study. To show thyself approved unto God. Well, when you study and show yourself approved unto God, you are naturally labeled, notice, a workman. Needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Verse 16, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. One of the only times in the Bible that it says for us to study. That word study, it comes from the root word of being studious. You know that. You study, you sit down, you think, you listen. Some of our dear younger people are going to college right now. Some are still in high school. And that studying is what'll kill you. That stuff's just boring. Just to study and study and study. And you think about it, he says here, you're studying to show thyself approved. Now again, the question is, well, Paul, what do I study? This is a clear indication that Timothy had the Word of God. He had what he needed. The Bible is accurate. I don't need to hit on this point. The Bible is true. The Bible is preserved. The Bible is inspired. The Bible is all that we need. We have it today. By the way, it's in our own language. It's in what you can understand. People today that don't have it in their own language, they're much more studious than we are. It's sad to say that we get it in our own language and we have everything we need and we get real bored with it. It's easy to do that. Studying to show thyself approved unto God. Who is your approval? I want to prove it to God that I'm right. I want to prove to God that I can do this. I want to prove to God that I'm worthy. I'm a workman. I'm not ashamed. Ashamed. People come back. Now again, that was our theme last year, being unashamed. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, Romans chapter 1. I'm not ashamed of it. One of the biggest things we face as Christians is shame or embarrassment. We're good on Sunday, and boy, I can preach on Sundays, and unashamed, oh, amen, brother, hallelujah. I get in these preachers' meetings with all these other pastors, amen, oh, hallelujah, amen, amen. And then on Monday, it's, we go to the restaurant afterwards, and it's like, you going to give them a track or am I? We get real tight-lipped, if you're like me, real tight-lipped. I'm not ashamed of it. Do you know how to get rid of shame in your life, of being embarrassed and ashamed of God and of other things? Right here. I mean, literally, if you spend daily time in this book, that shame and embarrassment just kind of dissipates. Well, because you know the truth. I know the truth. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded, Paul says. And I love that word persuaded. It's literally persuaded into doing something, persuaded into that. He says, I know I'm not ashamed. Notice rightly dividing the word of truth. That word rightly dividing means to cut straight. You don't cut crooked. You don't cut corners. It's cut straight down the line. Cut straight. I tried to wrap some gifts during Christmas time and that didn't go well. And it was crooked. I just thought, well, forget this. Just take it and fold it. And I finally just, like you take a loaf of bread and you just do the twist it. That's what I did. I twisted that thing around and put tape around it. It looked like a big candy or something. And put a bunch of those under the tree. And he says, cut it straight. Cut it. Divide the word of truth correctly. You know the Bible. You understand it. The Bible is cohesive. The Bible is continuous. There is nothing that is controversial, if you will, or a counterpart by the New Testament, Old Testament. It doesn't contradict each other. It goes together. You take the Bible and study it. You take cross-references and use it. That's what he's saying. And then he says, verse 16, and we'll wrap it up, but shun profane and vain babblings. Now follow your Bible. The Bible was translated for us in the English language by, you got to study it. The study the translators of the King James Bible. It's amazing. It's phenomenal. But they purposely used words that started with the same letter for memorization purposes. It's interesting. So he says study, but he also says what? Shun. If you're going to study, you have to shun some things. You really do. And so to study, you got to turn something off and open this up. You've got to turn this thing off and then to open this up. I know it's so elementary and I'm preaching to myself, but this is exactly what he's saying. You've got to shun profane and vain babbling. You know what profane is? It's dirty. It's filthy. It's profane. You know what vain is? It's vain. It's vanity. It's self-absorbed. It's all about me. And you know what babblings are? Nonsense. Blah, 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 blah. Talking about nothing. Do you know those three words describe social media? Don't they? All three of those words. Profane, filthy, vain, all about me, and babblings. Nonsense. That's exactly what he's saying. They will, notice what they do, increase unto more ungodliness. It's fascinating to me how ungodliness just increases. By the way, ungodliness doesn't just sit idle. You don't, well, I'm ungodly. Oh, I messed up in sin. That sin festers, doesn't it? It grows like a snowball down a hill. I mean, it just increases and increases and increases. How do I shun profane things? Turn it off and study. Turn it off and study. Oh, I could go on. We go on and on. I'm going to cover more of this next week. But he goes on to talk about how that he's to be an example of the believers, how he's to depart or flee from those lustful things in his life and so on, about the progression of the believer. But today, are you thriving in the new year? Are you thriving? Okay, number one, grace of God. We need it. Plead for the grace of God. Say, I don't even know what that is, Brother Tim. Just plead for it. He'll give it to you. Lord, give me the grace of God. He'll give it to you. To do that which you cannot do on your own. You can't do it. You don't have the skills. You're too embarrassed to do it. I just don't know how to get. I can't do it, Lord. I need the grace of God in my life. That's what you do. You plead for it. He'll give it to you. Secondly, you propagate that which you have heard to others. Can I help you? Can I be a blessing to you? Can I what? Commit the same to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. And then are you enduring the hardness? You're not warring and to get entangled. You're warring, what? In a good fight. Paul says, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but to all them that believe. That's us. Okay? There is a reward. Okay? Are you striving lawfully, keeping to the book? God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to do it? A good employee says to boss, how do you want me to do it and what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to do it? I'll do it your way. And are we pleasing him? Focused on him, you'll please everyone else you're supposed to please. Those people that get upset with you and perturbed at you and criticize you, so be it. They're not someone you're supposed to please. If you're pleasing him, you know in your heart, I'm pleasing the Lord. They get upset with you. Oh, well, we're focused on God. You're crowned only if you do it lawfully. You're partaking of the fruits. You're not just a talker. You're not just all about you. You're what? Preaching the truth and living the truth. People will only follow the old adage. People don't care how much you know when. They know how much you care. You know I care about you, you'll listen. You don't know that, you won't listen. So thinking about it. And lastly, and we'll stop here, are you studying and are you shunning? Studying and shunning, putting aside the things that keep you away from the book. This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. A great pastor by the name of Vance Havner said that. You got to look him up sometime and listen to him. Vance Havner, wonderful man of God, but he said that. You see in God work in your life, you keep focused on him. I want to thrive. This may be our last year, may not. I'm not trying to be morbid or depressing, but it could be our last year. This could be your last year on earth. You could pass. I don't know. I could pass. Lord, 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 please come back. That's what I pray. Please come back, Lord, before these girls get married. Please. Please, Lord, work. It could be. And wouldn't you want to stand before him and say, God, I strived. I tried. I thrived. Lord, he's going to say, here's your crown. Thank you. And enter ye in. God says, I'm looking for some people, some soldiers today that I can use. I can use. Do you feel as if maybe you could step it up just a few notches? Maybe you could just turn the volume up just a little bit more. Maybe you could put the little hotter underneath you. Maybe you could just put forth a little bit more effort than you've been putting forth so you can thrive in the new year. Yeah, and again, I'm talking to myself. Can we just turn it up just a little bit more? Oh, but I'm so tired, and you don't know what I've been going through, and the stress and my arthritis and my pain and all the things I'm dealing with. Hey, let's turn it up a little bit more. Why? Grace of God will come in. I'll be strong in the grace of God. I want to be better. I want to do more for God, all for Him. Are you pleasing Him that's chosen Him to be a soldier? All right, would you stand with me, please? Thank you for listening. Lord, we thank you for this morning, again, for a wonderful morning. I thank you for those that have come out. As I say often, that, Lord, have made it a point to be in church. I know it's not easy. I know many didn't sleep well last night. They're not feeling well. Others are tired from a long work week. Others have even worked early this morning and made time to get here to church. And I thank you for that, Lord. And I pray you'd help us. We're just trying sometimes to survive, Lord, in this wicked world. But God, more than that, as you called us to be more than conquerors, we can thrive, Lord. Thank you.